You are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
Please. What is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in. I am trying to keep my voice at bay.
Very serious matters this afternoon.
Very serious matters. We're not gonna talk about it.
Understood.
We're not gonna do it. It's a basketball reference, just in case you're seeing this like 3 months from now and you're like, what was going on? It's a basketball reference. We're not gonna talk about it. I'm trying to keep my voice at bay because I do a lot of talking in front of people.
And yesterday you yelled a lot during Capture the Flag.
Oh, that's true. I did have a megaphone, though.
You did, like second half.
Yeah, second half. It's funny. I'll lose my voice. I don't have a sore throat. I don't have a stuffy nose. I don't feel sick at all. I literally just lost my voice.
Right, it's you're like, not sick.
It's like working out, and like you're like, it's like you're, my vocal cords are sore.
Sure.
It's very strange. Mm. Dude, I'm going to like have like, like when I'm like 70, I'm going to have the strongest vocal cords ever. It's gonna be like, people are going to be like, yo, like this guy's got some pipes on him. Dude, I forgot we were live I forgot that we were recording for a second.
Yeah, no, we're here.
I was just kind of talking.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry about that, guys. I forgot that we were being recorded. I'm being serious. I really did. It's because I genuinely talk the way that I talk on this that I do in like real life. I guess because this is real life. Anyway, I'm excited to talk to you what I'm going to talk to you about today. It's going to be good. I'm going to talk about understanding godly friendships. We'll talk about that in a second. But before we do that, it is time to
rate that energy drink.
Here we go. I'm hoping that this is the flavor that I think it is.
You think it's cotton candy?
I do.
I also did when I saw it, and I was like, oh, I'm going to get that for him. But it's not. It's sour gummy worm. It's the Charlie colors.
I have had negative experiences with gummy worm, and I hope that this is better.
I do too. My goal today was to get an energy drink that neither of us had, but had a chance to actually be good.
Sure.
So this is a Reign sour gummy worm, 200 milligrams of 200?
It's usually at the bottom.
300.
300, yeah.
300 milligrams of caffeine, fake sugar. We'll see.
I think we're going to switch it up starting next week. I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to do something different, though. We might do Rate That Monster. I like Monster.
I also like Monster. That's my go-to like on Wednesdays.
I think Monster is very good. I think it's probably the best energy drink. David Costa would not approve of this, by the way.
No? What is he like?
Can I get him on the phone real quick?
Sure.
I'm going to get him on the phone real quick. Let me see if I can get David on the phone for a second. He's
just because
answer.
Of like health stuff or because he prefers a different brand?
I'll get him on the phone and let the people hear what he has to say. Let's see if he answers. This is funny because if he watches this later, he's going to be like, what are you, you guys were calling me? What the heck? I'm kind of going to go with a no. I feel like he's a pretty busy guy right now.
He is a busy guy.
With his PT stuff. I'm going to leave him a message, though, on the podcast.
He's a busy fella.
He's going to get a message real quick. Come on, David. Answer your phone, bro. This is so mediocre.
We should do this every week.
Dude, just call someone random into the thing. I should call Chris Wattawa.
Lord.
David?
Please leave your message for 8.
Oh, don't give his number out.
Yeah, okay. Mr. Costa, you are on the Uncanceled Podcast. You had your opportunity and now you failed. You were going to be able to tell the entire world on YouTube that you do not approve of energy drinks because you think that they are bad for you health-wise. And I was going to let you give like a whole speech and everything. Opportunity denied. Mm. Love you, man. David Costa.
By the way, they are.
Oh, terrible for you.
Yeah.
It's not good. I'll just be honest. It's not good. To be honest with you, I need this sometimes, though. I really do. Like, to give me a kick in the pants.
What a phrase.
smells like trolley.
Okay. You know what I should have done? I should have gotten a bag of trolley. And we could have done a taste comparison.
What the heck, bro?
Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to put my phone on ringer in case he calls back.
That'd be cool. I feel like he won't. He is a busy guy.
He called me back earlier. Oh. Called me back earlier because I called him about something else. Let me see. This definitely smells like trolley gummy worms.
I agree.
Or gummy worms, I would say. Let's go. Wow. I've never tasted sour gummy worm energy drink that tastes exactly like it. Like is it exactly? Am I exaggerating when I say exactly?
Haven't had a trolley in a while, but I think that it gets the flavor profile right. It's like pretty sweet and then like a little hint of sour towards the end.
What do you think about the carbonation here?
It's good. I think it's like smooth, but like not weak.
Yeah, I agree. I actually think it's kind of nice. You know what I'm really into lately? Mm. There's this Ghost energy drink. You know the company Ghost?
Yep.
They make, by the way, they make Chips Ahoy cookie energy or protein powder.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
very good.
And Nutter
it's,
Butter. And
yeah. Nutter Butter's mid. Okay. The Chips Ahoy Haven't cookie is really good. But Ghost makes strawberry margarita energy drink. And
oh, yeah.
It is actually, and there's no alcohol in it before anybody gets upset. And
Somebody's already upset.
They're like, what do you mean? Is it wrong to drink out? I was like, we're not getting into that. Wrong podcast right now. It's not what we're getting into. But the strawberry margarita flavor is so refreshing and good. I almost got it for you yesterday, but I was a little nervous that you were going to be wanting a monster, so I didn't go with that. But
thanks, by the way, for getting me
the monster. Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, you got the energy drink today. Thanks. Appreciate it. But, you know, listen, in life, man, don't be like that type of person that's like you buy like a $3 drink and you're the type of person that's like trying to get people to pay for you for a $3 drink. Don't do that. It's not good. And just consider it a seed. Anytime that you do something for someone, like don't, when you do stuff for people, like don't expect something in return unless like, it's like, you know, you're going and doing it and you're making like some type of business deal. That's different. But like, if you're going to go and just be like, hey, you want me to pick you up a drink or whatever? Like, you don't need to be like, yeah, like, can you, it was $2.16.
Send a Venmo request.
Send a Venmo request for $2.16. Like, come on, man. Like, you're better than that.
This is pretty good.
It is.
I'm blessed by it. Yeah, I'm pretty pleased.
I'm pretty pleased with it too. Something that you don't typically see from me lately is drinking it, like taking a couple sips out of this. I have an idea of a rating of what I would give it to. It has a nice sweet component. It really does taste like trolley gummy worms, but I'll tell you something that's interesting about me.
Hmm.
I don't really care for trolley gummy worms.
No.
The sour ones. I like not sour ones. I like sour things, but I don't really like the sour trolley gummy worms. I'm not a huge fan of the flavors. So for me, I'm not a big fan of this flavor. I like it. I just don't love it, if that makes sense.
No, I agree.
I
hear you.
So you're not really into trolleys either?
I mean, if I'm going for just a candy, I'm not going gummy. And like, in general, like, a Sour Patch Kids or like a sour gummy worm, like cool, you know, nothing wrong with it, but not like really doing it for me. Especially if I'm going to like get a candy, I'm going to get like a chocolate peanut butter kind of deal.
Yes. Yes. What do you think I would get if I was getting a candy?
You're a gummy guy.
What am I getting?
You are a Sour Patch Watermelon.
I like those a lot, but there's actually a different gummy that I'm very much so into right now.
What's that?
I like Skittles gummies.
Oh.
The wild berry ones are amazing. Okay. If I'm going to have that. What is that thing that I've been having occasionally? Oh, I also like those Nerd clusters. Those are pretty good too. One thing. Now, chocolate candy is better for you in terms of ingredient. But usually.
Right, because like gummy stuff like.
Like how do you make that? Yeah.
Right.
But calorie wise. The Nerd clusters,
yeah.
You can have like 30 of them for 100 calories.
Really?
Yeah, I'll show it to you today. Maybe it's 21. Maybe it's 21. I might be going too crazy. But that's not terrible. No. I mean, it's not terrible at the end of the day. But
it's not bad.
Anyway, that's besides the point. I don't know why we're talking about this again. But But hey, it's the podcast, man. We're just talking. We're just talking. Dude, I really think that we need to get a basketball segment in here.
Okay.
I think it needs to start to happen.
Okay.
Like a sports segment. Because
should
like,
we like actually set a timer? Like the 7 minute basketball segment?
I like it.
Or like the 4 minute basketball segment?
What should we call it?
We gotta come up with a name.
Fast break?
Oh,
it's kind of good. Fast break. Dude, we'll do a fast break. I kind of like that. It'll be our sports update of the week. We'll give our takes on sports. I like this.
I like that a lot.
I like it. I think that we...
Can we do a mini one right now? Can you talk about the Pete Alonso thing? Did you see it?
What happened to Alonso?
No, he didn't get hurt. Yeah.
Oh, we can talk about it.
I heard very generally about it. By the way, 7.5.
Okay, so I'm going a little lower than you might actually think. I'm going to go with a 6.5.
Okay.
I like it, but the flavor's not really me. But I like it. I mean, it's quality. I'm drinking the entire thing.
It's the best
thing.
One we've had in a little while.
I'm drinking the entire thing. Yeah. That's what I'm doing. Yeah. So That's it for Rate That Energy Drink. And you know what, man?
What's that?
Let's do like a little snap over to our first one. Right, like cool. I think we're doing it right now. Right. Ready? Here we go. And now for fast break. I love this. Oh, this is great. Welcome to Fast Break.
I mean, just like that. Let's just do it.
Come on.
Why not?
Welcome. I like that. Welcome to Fast Break.
First one. Like, you know, a little impromptu. Let's
do it. I like it. No, I like it a lot. What we're going to do, just for those of you guys that are not like interested in this stuff, we're going to do 10 minutes for Rate That, 10 minutes for our Fast Break. And then the Bible teaching will be as long as it is. If you don't care about the, you know, Rate That and
don't blame you.
I understand the Bible's way more important than any of this type of stuff. You can click the timestamp and actually just go right to the Bible
teaching. It'll be in the description, like at the top of the description.
Oh, it'll be like that? Yeah. Are you able to actually do the highlighted timestamp? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, like in the bar? I'll find out how.
If you can't, it's okay. But we have a timestamp for you. Don't worry. You don't have to listen to us talk. But let's talk a little sports here, man. Let's talk a little sports. Where should we start? Should we start with the two-minute report?
Yeah, we can start with the two-minute report. So we actually, in our sports group chat, in one of our sports group chat with James, we had a little back and forth about the Knicks and about our fandoms and hope and all that kind of stuff. Basically, Knicks have a big game tonight. And,
yes, they do.
And obviously, we both want them to win very, very much so.
Yep.
But anyway, I guess that's beside the point. Two-minute report. The Knicks lost on Tuesday night. And it was a crusher.
It was a crusher. I mean, and for those of you guys that didn't see, we were up by six, with 24 seconds left.
Yeah, I think 24, 26 seconds left. And 1-3. Tyrese Maxey hit an and 1-3. And so on that play, he dribbled up and Mitchell Robinson jumped for his pump fake and Tyrese Maxey like took a step in and then drew the foul and hit the three. Also, crazy shot.
Tyrese
Maxey.
He's a great player.
Yeah, he was balling. But the two-minute report is something that the NBA refs do after the game to basically like see if they got anything wrong in the last 2 minutes of clutch time. And it came up that Tyrese Maxey traveled on that four-point play.
So like, there's a couple talking points here. I like this. There's a couple talking points here. All right. The first talking point on this that I would say is let's start with just the 2 minute report in general, and then we'll break down the actual call.
Yeah.
Right. The 2 minute report, in my opinion, and Ben, you can kind of weigh in on where you think. I think it is a good resource for the NBA to self-evaluate their referees and see like how they're doing. However, I think that it actually creates more frustration from the fans to release that report to the public.
Yeah.
And because like now as a Knicks fan, I'm a little upset because I feel as though we should have won that game because
right.
the travel would have been called right. and we would have gotten the ball back up right. six with 24 seconds right. left.
And same way, the two-minute report came out after game two when it came out that Josh Hart
fouled
Tyrese Maxey. So like same way, right? But yeah, Sixers fans were mad in game two. We're mad game five.
Right.
So like it's just stupid. Like what good does it do? Because ultimately, okay, great. Tyrese Maxey traveled. There's nothing to be done.
Right.
So like
right.
what's the point of releasing it to the public? I brought up the Knicks lost the game in the regular season of the Rockets where they called a foul on Jalen Brunson contesting a three and the guy got three free throws. The Rockets ended up winning the game. The Knicks filed a petition to replay the last like 10 seconds
right.
and then the overtime or whatever it was. And it didn't end up happening. So
even though they acknowledged that the call right, was what right. was incorrect.
In the 2 minute report.
Yeah.
So it's like if they're not actually going to make a change as a result of the 2 minute report, then what is the point of it?
Right. And I think that
to be released to the public,
right. Their yeah. argument would be for self-evaluation and maybe
keep
they would say
house.
For transparency with the fans. But I just feel like that brings a lot of like pandemonium. And also like I kind of don't like the idea that games can be overturned. And here's my take on this. This might be a little bit of a hot take. I think that challenges are good within the confines of the game. And if they're going to go and look at fouls like that in the game before it's over, I'm good. So, like, example, the Jalen Brunson foul, I think the refs should have all gotten together and looked at that themselves.
Even without the Knicks having a challenge?
Yeah. So, something they do in football
because
that is kind of good.
Because that can take forever.
Yeah, but something that they do in football that is nice
yeah.
is inside 2 minutes, there are no coaches' challenges allowed, and everything comes from upstairs. Now, you know, the argument can be made in basketball. There's a lot more close calls that you need to look at, and, like, there's a lot, like, more rhythm to the game and stuff. But maybe if they did something in the NBA, like, no coaches' challenges within the last, like, minute or something like that, or last 30 seconds or whatever, I don't know. And they were able to look at stuff because once the game is over, I do feel like in every sport, part of the game is the officiating.
I agree.
So,
no, I agree. And like, I see that, like, it feels good when you know, or when you can see on the replay that like, hey, they missed that call or whatever.
Right.
And then they go and they look at it and they get it right. That feels good. But I almost feel like players miss shots. Sometimes refs just miss calls.
100%.
And that's just part of it. And basketball used to be so much more flowy.
100%.
Where, like, it was so much more back and forth. Yeah, they just called it out of bounds on you, even if it clearly hit the last guy. Sorry, go back down
yeah,
and play defense.
Yeah, and it was chippier because
yeah,
of it, too.
Yeah. And so, like, now everything gets challenged. You know, everything, you see this all the time. There's all these flagrant
right. 100%.
reviews. 100%. And it can mess with the flow of a game.
Right, and I think, I agree, and I think that, like, in baseball, for example, hopping over to the bat, they want to have robo-umpires, which basically, like, the umpires stand behind home plate and look at their, like device, and it tells them if it was a ball or a strike. When I played baseball, and if any of you watching played baseball, you can understand this, part of the game is figuring out where the umpire's strike zone is. So, like, if I get up to play, so if I'm the leadoff hitter for my team, and I get up there, and a pitch is clearly slightly high, and he calls it for a strike. And then I get a curveball, and it's a little, it's like low, but you know it's a strike, and he doesn't call it. You go, okay, this umpire has a higher strike zone. And you adapt and adjust to that flow. And as long as the umpire is consistent with their call, you're good.
Yeah.
Same thing with the NBA. Some games, you're going to have refs that allow you to play a little bit. Other
yeah.
games, you're going to have refs that don't allow you to play at all, and they're going to be on you for every single call. That is part of the game, and it's part of the adaption that you need to be able to make. And I actually think that that flows into player IQ and shows you who really the better team is to be able to adjust to IQ in every setting and scenario, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
does that
no,
make
for
sense?
Sure. Like, it's... like, the sport isn't played by robots. It's played by people.
Right.
And it should be officiated by people, and sometimes they miss calls. And, like, it, you know, it's not fun when refs miss calls.
Right.
Obviously, like, we're just watching, or, like, if you're playing, whatever. Like, but, like, obviously for them, it's more, less fun. But it's not fun, but, like, it's just part of it. Like, you don't want everything to be automated right. like perfect. Like,
Let's talk about this, right? We don't want everything to be automated and stuff like that. And like, I 100% get that. There is human error in the game. However, if a player in the NBA misses enough shots and doesn't play well, they get cut. Why in professional sports do guys that clearly, consistently miss it are allowed to continue to keep their job?
I wonder if eventually they get fired and we just don't really hear about it.
Maybe, but there's a guy in the MLB. His name is Angel Hernandez. He's an umpire, and if you're listening to this and you watch baseball, you know who this guy is. He is the worst umpire I've ever seen in my life and across all sports. He's the worst officiant across all sports. He's been umpire for 25 years. And he's been bad since for the last like 7 years. Dude, he called a strike three on a guy that I kid you not. Like I'm actually like, this is not an exaggeration because people say this to exaggerate. It was in the other batter's box for the guy and he punched him out.
Did he have something happen recently where like they hit him on accident?
Oh, because no, that happens in baseball sometimes.
I saw that. I don't know. Like, they totally should be. If a ref is terrible, then, like, yeah.
Fired.
If you're bad at your accounting job.
Right, you're fired.
You get fired. Like, yeah, I agree.
And there's a little leeway in there, right? Like, you know, if we're missing calls here and there and stuff, like, it's whatever. I'm talking about constantly, you just choke obvious calls all the time. And, like, I get close, like, 50-50, even deflections. Like, I understand it, like, sometimes.
Yeah.
If it's, like, two guys reaching for a ball at the same time, that's tough. But, like, the other day with the Nick Batum thing, where the Knicks were playing the Sixers, and I think, like, somebody on the Knicks hit the ball, and it clearly went off Batum's hand and changed direction. You got to see that one and stuff. And even if you miss some of those, like, I get it. But, like, there needs to be more accountability in officiating in sports.
I agree. We have 30 seconds.
Should we hit it with the? Should we just like briefly touch on like the end of the Knicks game for a second again?
Sure.
All right. So we'll just touch on this. We'll probably go a little bit over time, but
overtime.
If we go overtime, there's an overtime. Dude, we got to get like a different segment, intros, like different segment intros. But we're about to go overtime. you can like stop it or whatever, just because like it's gonna ring. Mitch was obviously Mitchell Robinson, the Knicks center, was defending the three against Tyrese Maxey. We're up by six. We have a two possession lead with 24 to 26 seconds left, whatever. Maxey in real time did not look like he traveled.
Right.
In my opinion. Maybe other guys saw and thought it.
Yeah, I mean, we had four people watching, and
none
of us were like, oh my gosh, he traveled.
No, everyone was mad at Mitch for jumping out on it because he should not have done that very, very clearly. However, if you really think about it and you watch the clip again, because I did watch it again, and me and Ben were seeing it, and I think Ben might have a slightly different take, but I was watching, and I felt like Maxey was kind of getting ready to set up and pull. And Mitch kind of went out with the understanding that his feet were done being set. And then he stepped into Mitch and traveled and bumped into him and shot it. Now, Mitch should not have closed out like that. That doesn't change. If I'm Mitch, I'm letting him shoot the three. Go in and shoot it.
Putting your hands up, but like, dude, shoot it.
Just shoot it.
Yeah.
You know?
My only thing, I don't know if Mitch was thinking that deep.
Nah, probably not. I'm probably giving him the benefit of the doubt too much. I'm being honest.
I think he wanted to block the shot and be a hero.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that sentiment. I ultimately think that the plays that made the Knicks lose the game, play number one was Josh Hart's errant pass to OG Anunoby. Do you remember that steal that they got? Because the Knicks get that bucket and the momentum is with them. I think they go up by eight with like two left or something like that. That's a bad play.
That was very bad.
That's number one. Number two was the foul on Mitch really cost them because it was and one and he knocked down the free throw.
You can also go, or was that, was maybe an overtime when they got the flagrant foul call and then Jalen missed one of them. I think that was overtime.
I don't recall.
Pretty sure that was overtime.
But that's a big miss.
That was overtime. Yep. But Yeah. The Josh Hart turnover, that was bad.
And Mitch, the free throw from Hart.
Yeah, the free throw from Hart, I mean, that seals the game. It really does. Yep. Like, that was really bad. Mitch was really bad. Mitch should have also been up on the pick and roll when Maxie was coming off on the last play that he
sagging
had,
back?
That
for
he had
what
a
reason?
35-footer or whatever.
And they're not going to call a foul on that one. And what I mean by that they're not going to call a foul on that one because like it's like too it would have to be very clear and obvious for them to call a foul on that one. Maybe Mitch was apprehensive to go out on him because he fouled him earlier.
Could be.
That's interesting. Well, anyway, guys, that was a good segment. I enjoyed it. If you like basketball or like sports in general, you're going to enjoy that segment. Right now is basketball season, so we're going to really focus on basketball. It'll be interesting in the in-between of basketball and football because Ben is not a huge baseball guy. Yeah. I can kind of talk. I love baseball. I talk about it and stuff, but it'll be interesting to kind of talk about the NBA draft and stuff like that and different off-season moves.
NBA drafts will have the Olympics.
Yeah, you know, because June is the final, so we'll have a lot to talk about up and through June. And then football gets going in like August. So we just really have that little small gap right there where we will have to talk about something
else. You know what's
crazy? What's up?
When they're watching this, they're going to know what happens tonight. It will have already happened.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm just like...
Let's end on here. Prediction for tonight. Go ahead. Make your prediction.
And I'm not just saying this. I think that the Knicks are going to win tonight. I really do. I think that every game has been really close. I wouldn't be surprised if one team pulls away and then the other team makes a run and comes back. I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe like 10 to 15 point range. But I think that the Knicks are going to gut it out. I do. They've done it all year. They've done it a couple times so far in this series. They've already won in Philly. And I believe in them. I think that they're going to win by 5.
Okay. Here's my take. This series seems like it is destined to go to 7 games. The NBA wants it to go to 7 games. They have the series extender reffing tonight, Scott Foster.
Do they?
I'm pretty sure they do. I thought I saw that. My boy John told me that. Yeah. I don't like that
prediction.
I also believe that Embiid is going to have an incredible game tonight. He is going to play really well. I think the Sixers are going to be fired up because the Knicks have given them hope. I think the Knicks are going to play excellent tonight. However, I actually am going to make this prediction. This is going to be, not including overtime, the highest scoring regulation game that we've seen all series in this game. Both teams will be over 100 points tonight is my prediction. And the Sixers, that bodes better for the Sixers. And I think the Sixers win, and we go back to the Garden on Saturday, and we win.
You know who has something to say about that? Jalen Marquise Brunson.
Listen, I hope you understand when you see this tomorrow. If the Knicks won, I'm going to be more happy than, like, I'm going to be just as happy as any Knicks fan on the planet. Like, it's like, I'm not, like, hoping we lose.
No, I know.
I still think we win the series, but I think that if the NBA does extend it tonight, like, with, like, bad officiating, they'll give it to us when we get to 7 at MSG. They know it's better for the NBA. The fact that we took over the Wells Fargo Center is proof enough that it's better for the NBA for us to be able to be in the conference finals and not to us to be in the next round than it is for the Sixers.
Joel Embiid is a bigger star.
Yeah, but Joel Embiid, I bet you they're concerned about his health.
Maybe.
Because he's not healthy.
We'll see. I'm a little nervous.
I'm nervous too. Well, thank you for joining us for Fast Break.
Come on.
Come on now. That was
fun.
That was fun. That was a good time.
Yep.
Let's go to Bible teaching. All right, guys. Welcome to the Bible teaching part of the Uncanceled podcast. If you stuck with us for Rate That and for the sports, or for Fast Break, that's what we're calling it, then good for you for sticking it all the way through. But if you just want the Bible teaching, that is the most important thing that we have on the ledger, Ben. Is that right? Okay, sure. If you want us to do a sports podcast where we like talk about sports for like an hour, me and Ben, let us know. Like, we'll cover stuff like NBA, NFL, fantasy football. We're like both pretty into fantasy football. We'll cover like a lot of stuff and like talk about it. And like, it's the re- like we just want to do it because we're going to have fun. But like, you can actually listen to a sports podcast that like isn't going to curse and like be like super immoral and stuff like throughout the entire way. So you can listen to that if you're interested. Let us know and we'll start one. We'll start a podcast called Fast Break or something like that. And just let us know. Let us know in the comments or like in person when you see me. Let's get into the Bible teaching though. Today I want to talk to you about understanding godly friendships. Understanding godly friendships. Everybody needs godly friends. Everybody needs godly friends. It is of the utmost importance to make godly friends. It is of the utmost importance to make godly friends. I'll show you in the Bible. Go to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. We all need godly friends. Even I need godly friends. I need people in my life that are going to be good examples of God and that are going to encourage me in the right way that I should go. Even as a pastor, people think sometimes I feel that pastors are like exempt from certain things because they're pastors. But the reality is that we're people and we're Christians too. And we need to follow the word of God as well. And so the Bible says in Proverbs 27, 17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. You ever see like one of those knives that you like get like the tool and you sharpen the knife with the metal? That's what happens when you hang out with godly friends, is it's as if a knife is rubbing up against a metal tool and you are becoming sharper in your faith as you hang out with other people of faith. You begin to encourage one another in the things of God. You begin to encourage each other to do the right thing. That's what happens when we have godly friends. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. I will tell you this. This scripture, because I want to be fully transparent with you, it is translated differently in a bunch of different translations. In the NKJV, it's translated one way, and in the NLT, it's translated another way. I still think that the principle is true nonetheless, regardless of how it's translated. However, I just want to be fully transparent with you that I understand that this is not the way that it is in some translations. But in the New King James, it says it like this. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. And I do believe that there is a principle in the Bible that we can pull from. And I'm going to get into that principle later on about, if you want to have friends, you must yourself be friendly. Because I think it's important that if you expect to have friends and you just sit in the corner and cross your arms and don't talk to anybody, then it's no wonder that you don't have friends. But we have to actually be friendly to find friends. But here's what the Bible says in regard to the importance of having godly friends. It says, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. A real friend sticks closer than a brother. The Bible is very clear that friends stick closer than a brother. It is so important to have godly friends. A brother is someone that is forced to be close to you. You have to love your family and be close to your family. But a friend chooses to be your friend and chooses to stick close to you. And so that's why when the Bible says a real friend sticks closer than a brother, a real friend will stick by your side and close to you regardless of what's going on in your life. And so having godly friends is so important for every time of your life. People, you know, like to highlight, you know, friends will stick close to you even in adversity. And that's true. There might be some times that are difficult in your life and that if you have a godly friend, they'll stick close with you and they'll be friends with you and they'll help you through difficult times that you have. But it also works on the other way. When you're successful and you do things well and God is blessing you, a real friend will still stick closer than a brother to you. Because how many of you guys know that success sometimes can make people envious of you? And a real friend will not become envious of you, but a real godly friend will celebrate with you and be excited for you. I've told youth pastors before that you know, I thought were my friends. I've told them before, you know, about some successes that we've had at our youth group. Lately, we've been having over 100 kids every single Wednesday night. We had 125 kids here last night, and it was a great service. If I tell some people that are my youth pastor friends that, they will start to act some type of way in jealousy. I tell other people who are my youth pastor friends that, and they celebrate with me and they get excited. They're like, dude, that's so awesome. I celebrate that with you. That's the way that it should be. That is a real friend, is somebody that will stick close to you regardless of what's going on in your life. Now, when it comes to sin and when it comes to people, when somebody starts to not live for God, that's different. If I'm really good friends with someone and they start to not live for God, obviously, and we'll get into this in just a second, actually, obviously I'm going to correct them and I'm going to try and point them in the right direction. But if they refuse and they start to just live wickedly and I decide to not be friends with them anymore and distance myself from them, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm talking about, you know, if there's challenges that somebody is facing, if people are facing opposition, people are talking bad about them, or things are going really well with you, a real friend will stick close to you through all of that type of stuff. Ben is an example of a real friend. He's somebody that's a great friend in my life, and that he has been with me even as there's been situations in the ministry that have been difficult, and he's been with me as we've enjoyed great success. And something that's unique about my friendship with Ben is that Ben is a part of the success that we've had, and he's also a part of some of the challenges that we faced as well. And he stays and he chooses to be a part of it. He's not the youth pastor at Impact Youth, but he is technically, or his title is the assistant youth director at Impact. He chooses to stick around and be a part of it all, and to celebrate when there's success, and to stick by and support when there may be some challenges that arise. So having a godly friend is really important. Another reason why having a godly friend is important is because of what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says that bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. You may be a very good person and godly person that loves the Lord very much, but if you surround yourself with friends that are not godly, bad company will corrupt your good morals. You will find yourself slowly becoming desensitized to the things of God, even if you have godly morals. It is very hard when you are surrounded by wickedness and ungodliness all the time to remain godly. It is very, very difficult. Now, sometimes there may be situations in life where you may be forced to be around ungodly situations, and God's grace can help you with that. But nonetheless, you should still do your best to surround yourself with friendships and people that love the Lord. Some of you, and most of our students at Impact, go to public schools. Then they're surrounded by lots of people that are ungodly and wicked. But may I encourage you to try your best to find friends in your school that love the Lord and stand for the values that you stand for, and that stand for what the Word of God says. That doesn't mean that you can't ever have friends that don't love God. It doesn't mean that you can't be friends with people who aren't Christians. That's not what I'm saying. But the people that should be closest to you and that you spend the most time with are the people that are godly and that love the Lord. Those should be the people that you spend most of your time with. I have some friends that are not Christians, and I hang out with them sometimes. I do different things with them, and they're not Christians. But those are not the people that I spend the majority of my time with. I spend the majority of my time with people that are going to encourage me. And as the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens another. So it is important to have godly friends so that they will be good company and they will not corrupt your good morals. As the Bible says, bad company corrupts good morals. The opposite is also true. Good company will enhance or help you continue to have good morals. Why else do good friends matter? Or I don't want to say good friends. I want to correct that terminology. Good friends is a relative term. Godly friends is a biblical term. Having someone that is a friends that are godly, that love the Lord. Because good is relative. What is good? Good can be whatever people want to say is good. Well, I think this is good and I think that is good. As Christians, we believe what is good is what's in the Bible and what the Bible says. And so when I say good or God, I mean godly. Godly friends. Why else do godly friends matter? Why are they important? Go to Mark chapter 2. Go to Mark chapter 2. Friends of faith matter. In Mark chapter 2, it says this. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." So let me backtrack for a second. It says this, that there was a paralyzed man, and that there was no room in the house for this paralyzed man to be able to go before Jesus. And what happens is that four men arrived carrying a man on a paralyzed mat, and they couldn't bring him to Jesus. Why? Because there wasn't room in the crowd. There was no room in the house anymore. And so these friends, they could have said, "Well, we tried. We did our best to try and bring our friend to Jesus, but it is what it is." No, they decided to go up and dig a hole in the roof and lower the paralyzed man down to Jesus. Those are the types of friends that you want. Friends that will not give up on getting you to Jesus. That will not give up on you when you're believing for a miracle. That will not give up on you when you're believing God for something. You want friends that will encourage you in your faith. Here's the type of friends you don't want in your life, and that you don't want to be very close to you in your life, certainly. Friends that you tell them you're believing God for something and they tell you that that's not possible. You tell them that I'm believing God for healing in my body and they tell you all the reasons why that's probably not going to happen. You tell your friends that you don't really want to go to church and they tell you that they think it's a good idea for you to stay at home tonight. Those are friends that you don't want. You want friends that are godly, that are going to say to you when you say, "I don't want to go to church tonight," that they're going to say, "You need to be in the house of the Lord because you're going to find encouragement." Can I tell you something? When you don't want to be in church, that is the time you need to be there most. When you do not want to be in church, that is the time you need to be there most. Why? Because the reason you don't want to be in church is likely because you are discouraged about something or you have some off way in your mind that you need to have renewed by hearing the word of God preached to you. And you need faith to be built up in you in that moment. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so what you need more than ever in that moment is you need to actually be in church. And what you don't need is you don't need other backslidden friends or ungodly friends that go, "Yeah, that's true. You know, maybe it'd be a good idea for you to stay at home tonight. You don't need to come to church this Sunday." That's not a godly friend. A godly friend will say, "No, you need to get here." A godly friend will say, "You're believing for healing? Let's go drive an hour to this healing service that's taking place tonight." That is a godly friend. Godly friends will do everything that they can to bring you to Jesus. When you surround yourself with godly friends, if you find yourself in a difficult situation or circumstance, your godly friends will lift you up. They'll lift you up out of that situation. They'll do their best to reach down and pull you up out of that situation. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Go ahead and turn there. I'm using my Bible app. I have a paper Bible, though, here, too, just in case. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Says, "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble." First, let's start with the positive, the first part. Two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. That's true. Two people that when they're aligned together in the same mind and vision, they can encourage each other to succeed. For example, your friend can encourage you to go and do the thing that God has called you to do. Your friend can encourage you in your faith, can encourage you to keep living for God, all of those things. But also, if you fall, your friend can encourage you and help you get back up. The Bible says the other can reach out and help. That's what can happen if you fall. But watch this. If you fall and you don't have any godly friends in your life, then how are you going to be reached out to and helped? For the Bible says, "But someone who falls alone is in real trouble." It's important to surround yourself with godly friends. Why did I write that scripture down? I knew what all the other scriptures were. Go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. I'm going to find out what it is when I get there. Oh, yeah, that's right. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself." That's such a great scripture. All scripture is great, but it's such a great scripture that if somebody, it's actually our job as believers that if our friends start to drift away from God, to warn them and try to gently restore them back along the right way. I deal with this a lot as a youth pastor, seeing kids drift on the wrong path and trying to catch it while it's early. Now, here's the unfortunate reality. I've had cases where students go, "You're right, Pastor Joey, I need to get back on the right path." And I've had cases where they hear what I have to say and they don't care and they continue living down the wrong path that they should not live on. I've had both cases. But as believers, we should try to reach out to our friends who are not living for God and bring them on the right path. But we must be careful ourselves that we don't fall into the same temptation. Example, case in point. If my friend is going to parties and getting drunk, I should pull them aside and say, "Listen, man, this is not something that is honoring to God." But it may not be a good idea for me to go to the party just to make sure that they don't drink, lest you fall into the same sin yourself. Because actually, first and foremost, you're responsible for you and your relationship with God, and you have to protect that. But then after you protect your relationship with God, then you can help your brother or sister that is not living for the Lord. So it's important to have godly friends. But the question then comes, how do I make godly friends? Because many students have said to me, "Pastor Joey, I get that it's important for me to have godly friends, but I struggle to make godly friends." Even at Impact, you come to Impact on Wednesday night and you're like, "Honestly, Pastor Joey, I have struggled to make godly friends." Remember how I said that even though that scripture, the New King James might get it wrong on the interpretation, which if I'm being honest with you, I don't really think that the New King James gets that translation right. I looked at it in the Hebrew and it's "he who has friends must find themselves friendly." That's not the proper interpretation of that text. I wish it was because it would prove my point further. But it's actually still founded in the scripture. How so? Well, if I sow friendship, if I sow friendliness, then I will reap friendship. Well, where's that in the Bible? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 that whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. The Bible says as long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest. So if I sow something, I will reap it. Now, many times people talk about this with finances, and that's 1,000% correct. It is 100% financial. In fact, that is the context. But it applies as a general principle in the earth. If I sow friendliness to people, I will reap friendship. If I sow friendship, I will reap friendship. Many students come to me. "Yeah, I just feel like Impact is not very friendly." How many people have you been friendly to? "Well, I kind of just sit in the corner and don't really talk to anyone." I'm not surprised that you don't have any friends. You know how annoying it is? I've seen this happen. I've had students that have such a bad attitude about making friends, and they complain that they don't have friends. So I will send students up to them to go try to be friendly with them. And they are so rude and unfriendly. And then the students don't want to hang out with them because they're rude and unfriendly. They try their very best. They invite them to come hang out with them, all that type of stuff. And they're just so rude and unfriendly. And then they get upset that they don't have any friends. Well, it's because you are sowing unfriendliness. Therefore, that's what you're reaping. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, I'm not by any means suggesting that if somebody is unfriendly to you, that you should then be unfriendly to them. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that if you're unfriendly to people, it's no wonder that people are not going to want to be friends with you. One of the ways that you can make godly friendships is by being a friend first to them. It's actually a biblical principle. We love God. Why? Because he first loved us. If you want someone to love you or be your friend, be their friend first. Love them first. Be the one to say, "I will be a friend to them even before they're a friend to me." Be willing to understand that they may not even view you as a friend before you do. You're going to view them as a friend first. I'm going to view this person as my friend. I actually had somebody that I'm very good friends with now that I wanted to be friends with them. And I wasn't really sure if they viewed me as a friend in their life or not. And so I actually went out of my way to be super friendly to them and to let them know that I cared about them. I started to ask them to hang out. I started going out of my way to talk to them all the time, asking them about different things in their life every single time I saw them. Started doing fun things with them and stuff. And I noticed over time that they began to be like, oh yeah, they're my friend. Joey's my friend. And I developed a friendship with them because I showed myself to be friendly with them. You can do the same thing. And that is so important. This is really going to bless some of you guys, this teaching. I actually, like, part of me is like, man, like, I should really preach this at Impact on a Wednesday because a lot of students could use this. But don't just expect people to come up to you and be friendly to you. You take the initiative. You take the responsibility. We live in an age and an era where people don't want to take responsibility for their actions anymore, and it's very frustrating. Yeah, I'm just overweight because, you know, you're overweight because you ate a lot of food. That's why you're overweight and you didn't work out. And I will say, I understand that there are some health conditions where people gain weight uncontrollably. There are outliers. But for them, and it's so funny, people get mad over like the 1%, Ben. It's like, they're like, you say something that is true like 99% of the time, and then they'll catch you on the 1%. Like, I won't bring it up. I'm not going to bring up what I'm going to say. But there are things that I've thrown out there, and they're like, well, what about this case? And it's like, you just brought up the negative, like less than 1% of this time that's the point. But most of the time, when you're overweight, it's not because you're a victim. It's because you ate too much food and didn't work out. And it's like, people actually would get triggered by that in today's culture. Like, ah, like, you know, they'll be like, I can't believe that you just said that. You triggered my trauma. It's like, just stop eating food and go to the gym a little bit and you will lose weight. That's what will happen. And listen, I hear you. Perhaps you had trauma in your life and it led you to eating yourself into a hole where you are now super overweight. I've watched My 600-Pound Life, and almost every single one of their stories starts with, I was abused as a child, this happened as a child, and all that stuff. And I hear that, man. I understand it. And my heart goes out to anyone that has experienced that type of trauma. And I hope that they find their healing in God. And it's sad because they're looking for food to satisfy something that only God can satisfy. That's very sad. But how did the food go into your mouth? You reached in and you picked it up and you ate it. That's what happened. Why am I not as big as Ben? Because Ben goes to the gym and he picks up weights and he lifts them on a regular basis. Ben, am I right to say you went to the gym 3 hours a day, 6 days a week for a little while? Is that right? 3 hours or so. 6 days a week, 3 hours or so. You know who hasn't gone to the gym 6 days a week, 3 hours or so ever in his life? Me. You know who's okay with that and is willing to accept the consequence of that, which is that I'm not Ben's size? Also me. I'm very much okay with the fact that I don't go to the gym. Listen, nothing against Ben going to the gym that long. Good for him. That's what he enjoyed. That's what he wanted to do in life. I'd rather go to the gym for an hour a couple times a week and then play video games other times. That's what I would rather do. But guess what? I'm not going to sit here and get upset with myself, upset with the world because I'm not big. I'm not super strong. No, I'm going to take responsibility for my own actions and say, I made a bad decision. In the same way, don't blame everybody else when you don't have friends. Do you really think that everybody else in the world is to blame? We need to break this barrier in the world today. Stop being a victim all the time and start taking responsibility. Stop being a victim. The first way out of your problem is changing your mentality from a victim mentality to a victor mentality. And the first transitional point is realizing that you have a role to play and a responsibility in your life to be able to play. So, like, do you really think, yeah, Pastor Joey, I just don't have any friends. I'm sorry you don't have friends. I want to help you get friends, which is why I'm doing this podcast. But do you really think that it is everyone else's fault that you don't have friends? Do you really think that? It's everybody else's fault that you don't have friends. I can tell somebody that is like not good at sports, they'll come up to me. Yeah, every team I play on, the coach just doesn't see that I'm a starting caliber basketball player. How many teams have you played on? 10? Are 10 coaches wrong about your talent, or are you wrong about your talent level? You have to start to ask yourself those types of questions. Yeah, every relationship I've been in has been so toxic. I have to stop dating toxic people. Maybe you're toxic. Just a thought. Just a thought. Same way with friendships. You have to start to take responsibility and say, what can I do differently? I'm going to start to walk up to people, introduce myself, say hi. My name is so-and-so. What's your name? And, oh, that's cool. What school do you go to? Oh, that's awesome. You know, man, like I'm honestly new here to Impact or new here to this school, and I'm just trying to make some friends. So like, you know, I'm just trying to hang out with some different people and stuff like that. You know, are you into, you know, basketball and stuff like that? Yeah, I love basketball. Hey, why don't we go shoot around the gym a little bit? Like just putting yourself out there and stuff like that. Or hey, like why don't a bunch of us go to Buffalo Wild Wings and watch the NBA playoffs or something like that? That's something for guys or girls. You know, hey, like, you know, why don't we all, you know, I don't know, like if you like to go get your nails done or whatever and you see they like to get the, hey, why don't we go and get our nails done or something like that? Or hey, why don't we all like go get some coffee together or something? Or, you know, just things like that. You have to initiate. If you want friendship, you need to sow friendship. You need to sow. Everything is a seed, guys. Everything is a seed. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Sow friendship and you will reap friendship. Be friendly, you will have friends. Now, that's how you make godly friends. Okay. And by the way, that is the way you do it. That is the way you do it. Well, what if I just like hope? What if I just pray? Can I tell you something that maybe some people might not tell you? If you pray and there is action that is necessary for you to take, God will not answer your prayer beyond the action that you need to take. God, please bless me financially. Are you tithing? Okay. Are you tithing? If the answer is yes, now you can pray that prayer and you can believe God. But God's going to turn around and say, my word says that you need to tithe if you want to see financial blessing. So you can pray all you want. And if you just pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, then okay, like nothing's going to happen because you're not being obedient to God's word. You need to be obedient to God's word. So it's important to make godly friends. That's how you make godly friends. Third, how to help someone else make godly friends. So here is how you can be helpful to somebody who is new to a youth group or new to your school. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15, verse 5 through 7. I'm going to read it to you. It says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another just as Christ has welcomed you. Welcome one another just as Christ has welcomed you. That's powerful. Welcome one another just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Many times, unfortunately, in churches, people are not very welcoming. You come into a church and, you know, nobody says hi to you and nobody's friendly. But as Christians, we need to welcome one another. We need to welcome people into the house of God. Make people feel like it's a place that they can be a part of. And the way that you can welcome people is go up and introduce them, yourself to them. Hey, I noticed that, hey, I don't know you. Like, is this your first time here or whatever? And like, they might laugh and be like, oh, that's funny that they introduced themselves like that. But okay, whatever. Like, go up. Hey, like, is this your first time here? Oh, that's awesome. I remember it was my first time here. Hey, you want to like come meet some different people? Go out of your way and just be super friendly with people. Make it a super welcoming environment at youth group and at church and at school. Even when you're at school, you can walk up to people and being friendly. I just preached a sermon on standing out. One of the ways you can stand out is by being a really friendly person that just like loves God and like welcomes people. That's the one of the ways that you can help people make friends. So this is super important. And I hope that this is blessing you right now. And I hope that this is encouraging you. You can have godly friends and make godly friends, but it is going to take some responsibility on your part. Like if I leave here, Ben, and I go and I eat some McDonald's, which I'm not going to do. I just wanted to think I was for a second. I'm not going to do it. But if I did that, it is not anyone else's fault that I have a stomach ache later, except for me. Well, McDonald's. Well, McDonald's puts bad stuff in their food. It's their fault. Why'd you go to McDonald's? This is the victim mentality that we have in our culture, where it's like, oh, well, I went to McDonald's and I ate their food and it made me sick. You chose to go to McDonald's. Now, if you're being forced to eat McDonald's, then fine. Like if somebody's literally making you open your mouth and eat or whatever, fine. You can make that argument. But nobody is doing that. So it's actually your fault for doing that. Now, if somebody makes you, you know, you go out to a restaurant with your family and they undercook the chicken or whatever and you eat it, that's not your fault. I get that. But you have to take more responsibility for your actions. We as people need to take more responsibility for our actions. As a youth pastor, my youth group's not growing. It must just be because of these wicked people in this church and stuff and in this area. Or you can take responsibility that you need to pray and fast and teach the Bible better and more effectively to your students. And then you can watch and see as your youth group will grow. Shocker, breaking news. Wow, isn't this such a foreign concept to take responsibility for our actions? Take responsibility for your actions. That's what I have for you today. I hope this blessed you, this podcast. If you feel to give to Impact Youth, you can go ahead and do so today. Remember, everything's a seed. Whatever you sow, you'll also reap. If you don't feel to give, that's fine. You don't have to give, no problem. But I'd just like to give everybody an opportunity to be able to give and to be able to sow. If you want to sow into this ministry, you like today's podcast, and you want to help more kids get saved, I want you to know what comes into Impact Youth doesn't go into my personal pockets. It goes towards this youth ministry. It goes towards salvations. We had an event that we, took up offerings for and just believed God that he was going to provide for. And 540 people gave their life to Christ for the first time. So this is good soil to be able to sow on. You can go ahead and give by... I know Ben's pulling it up. Ben does such a great job with all this type of stuff. I had no idea how to do any of it, to be honest with you. But I'll wait for him to pull that up in just a second. What do you mean? Ben will put it on after. I'll tell you this. You can go to faithchurch.cc/give. You just have to click the drop down impact, but there's other ways that you can give. Make sure you click the drop down impact, because if you don't, we won't know where the money was supposed to be allocated to, and it will go to the general fund of the church. This is good soil to be able to sow into. God bless you as you give. And thank you so much for joining us. I think that next week I'm thinking about starting to go live for our podcast. It will be a live broadcast instead. And we'll see about that sports thing. Maybe we'll do our sports segment live. All right. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Love you guys. And I'll see you sometime soon. Peace out.
Thank you for listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncanceled. God bless.